Stai ascoltando i podcast di Radio Bue, la web radio degli studenti dell'Università di Padova. www.radiobue.it.
Radio Didattica. Contenitore multimediale di approfondimenti formativi.
Podcast per l'esame del corso di istituzioni politiche nordamericane. Professor Tonello, anno accademico 2009-2010. Terzo podcast, il potere esecutivo.
The executive was a great issue. Of course, in the British system of government, the king was the executive department, and his relations with the House of Commons were very difficult. In America, there was two contradictory trends. Some of the delegates were concerned by the absence of an efficient central body, an executive capable of taking care of all matters. Alexander Hamilton called for, quote, an energetic government, end of quote. But others were mainly concerned by the danger of tyranny created by too powerful an executive. For example, one anti-federalist that signed his articles Brutus, a Latin name, wrote that, quote, this power exercised without limitation will introduce itself into every corner of the city and country. It will wait upon the ladies at their toilet and will not leave them in any of their domestic concerns. It will accompany them to the ball, the play, and the assembly. It will go with them when they visit and will, on all occasions, sit beside them in their carriages, nor will it desert them even at the church. It will enter the house of every gentleman, watch over his cellar, wait upon his cook in the kitchen, follow the servants into the parlor, preside over the table, and note down all he eats or drinks. It will attend him to his bedchamber and watch him while he sleeps. Of course, all these fears were largely paranoid, but they were quite widespread, and in the conventions to ratify the text of the Constitution after Philadelphia, these fears would express themselves strongly. In Philadelphia, several propositions were advanced to elect the executive. The first idea was to have the executive elected by Congress, the same solution which is common in other countries of the world, where a majority in parliament nominate the prime minister. However, this solution was considered a danger for the concentration of power and the alliance between the legislative and executive departments. Delegates were obsessed by the idea of separation of power and decided that the executive should be independently elected. There were a number of propositions to elect him by the people, by the two chambers united, or by the states, or other formulas as well. In the end, only in September, the very end of the convention, a compromise was found. The executive took the name of President of the United States, and it would be elected by an electoral college composed by delegates of the different states. The number of these delegates should be equal to the sum of representatives and senators of that state. At the same time, the states were free to appoint the electors in any way they wanted. So federalism was safe, and at the same time the president would be elected by a structure which took into consideration the interest of the states. It was decided that the term of the president would be 4 years. Many wanted him not to be re-elected a second time, but this amendment was defeated, and therefore the president was to be re-eligible a second or even a third time. Historically, all American presidents have served a maximum of 2 terms, that is 8 years, except Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was elected 4 times, but he died in office shortly after being inaugurated a 4th time in April 1945. So the executive was independent from Congress, and for this reason apparently powerful. He should deal with foreign governments, and he was given the title, rather honorific at that time, of Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. The trick was that at that time the United States had no armed forces. They had only a militia of able-bodied men. All the male were supposed to have arms, guns at home, and to be able to use them. All men between 18 and 45 were considered belonging to the state militia, and the president was empowered to call the militia to repel a sudden attack. But his power to declare war was explicitly denied. The declaration of war was reserved to Congress. Congress also had a hand in president's appointments. The president was able to appoint the secretaries of his cabinet, the ambassadors, consuls, judges, and so forth. But all these appointments had to be confirmed by the Senate with a majority vote. Therefore, the president was independent, but at the same time he needed the Senate to confirm his appointments, and also to ratify the treaties he signed. And to ratify a treaty, the Constitution specified that the majority should be 2/3 of senators present.
Radio Didattica. Contenitore multimediale di approfondimenti informativi.
Stai ascoltando i podcast di Radio Bue, la web radio degli studenti dell'Università di Padova, www.radiobue.it.